Well, I had a different beginning to this sermon until yesterday. And yesterday I called up this store and I was looking for an exercise bike. So I called them up. I said, "You guys got them?" "Yeah, we got them." So I went over there. I'm looking at them and stuff. And I looked at all these ones and said, "Yeah, this is the one. I want to buy this one." So he goes over, he rings me all up, and I bought it. Only it didn't exist. I mean, I paid money, but he goes into the back and he says, "Well, the computer says we have one, but we don't have one." He says, "You can wait till tomorrow." No, tomorrow won't do. He says, "Well, we can go and we can do this, we can do that, we can do the other thing, you know." And I said, no, none of those are going to work for me. I'll just go ahead and get a refund." "Okay, no problem." So as I'm signing the refund slip, he says, "By the way, it'll be 2 or 3 days before your money comes back on your card." Wait. I call ahead, and then I look at it, and then I buy it, and you don't have it, and then I can't have my money back. So I leave without my bike, and I leave without my money. It's funnier today, a whole lot funnier than it was yesterday, trust me. Yes, indeed. Take a look with me in Psalms. In the book of Psalms, look at Psalm 19. Psalm 19, I want you to put yourself bending over that counter with that pen in your hand as you sign that refund slip. And I want you, as you're thinking about the fact that you're not going to get what you wanted, you're not going to get the thing you called ahead for even, that you asked about, that you saw, that you bought, that you did all this stuff for, and then now you're just finding out that you're not going to get your money either. And I want you to repeat with me Psalm chapter 19 and verse 14. "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight." At that moment, can you pray that prayer?
Yes, sir.
Hey, we have an honest man over here. Ooh, that's a tough one, huh? That's a tough one. Yes, indeed. I think it was about 3 weeks ago we talked about declaring the glory of God from the first part of this chapter, the first part of this psalm, by telling the world of Him as the Creator. Last week we talked about declaring the glory of God with His Word. And this week we are finishing Psalm 19 by declaring the glory of God with our hearts, with our prayers, with our lips, with everything that we are. You see, Psalm 19, verses 11 through 14 is David making an application of all that has gone before. He has looked into the heavens and he has seen what an awesome God we have. He has seen a God who can do things because He is the Creator, not the created. We looked at how David looked at the Word of God, at all that God has done in his interaction with humanity, and he saw there the God of gods, one who was way beyond everything else, a God of love, who yet was a God who did not just overlook the guilty. God was there giving his law for us. And David looks at all of this stuff. And in verse 11 he says, "Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them is great reward." And so here is David getting the warnings that he has seen in all that has gone before. And then he begins to reflect on himself as he compares himself to all this. And he looks, uh-oh. Who can understand his, meaning himself, because he talked about himself as your servant, right? In verse 11. So now in verse 12, he says, who can understand his errors? And in this case, errors is compared with this secret faults in the second half of the verse. It's a poetic structure there where the first and second half are equivalent. And so in verse 12, who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. What he's talking about here is the things that I do when I trip up and I maybe didn't even realize that I had tripped up. You know, as I was talking with that guy at the store, if I hadn't been careful, I might have said something a little unkind, right? And you might not even realize you're going there, you know? And stuff just happens. Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24 says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Lead us away from these things that we fall into. But you know, there are other sins that we don't just trip into. There are ones we run right straight at, right? Sometimes there are ones that we just run right straight at. Look at 13. "Keep back your servant also from" what? "Presumptuous sins." If you have New International, it might say willful sins, right? These are the ones where you just know it's wrong, but you're so mad, you just say, "I don't care." Right? Scary words, huh? Scary words. "I don't care." And, you know, I might have been really upset and just let that clerk have it. You know, I might have done that. I might have just let that guy have it right then and there. You know, made him feel about that big. "What's wrong with you? Blah, blah, blah. You've heard it all before." Even though my conscience is sitting there ringing a bell in the back of my head, right? I might have just cut loose on the guy. But I don't know. I guess it probably wasn't his fault. The computer said what wasn't true. If the computer lies to him, how can I hold that against him, right? Computers lie all the time. You know that, right? Why should I exempt him, right? Instead, David says in verse 13, "Let them not have dominion over me." And that kind of dominion there is the kind of dominion a master has over his slave. Yes, as we give ourselves up to doing that kind of thing and giving vent to that, as we let go of ourselves, we fall under the mastery of somebody else. We become slaves to sin. And Paul in Galatians chapter 5 verse 1 says, "Stand fast therefore in the liberty by which Christ has made us free." Stand fast in that liberty and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. A yoke of bondage. Verse 14, "Let the words of my mouth." So both those hidden hidden and willful sins can come out of our mouths, you know? They can make us have real problems. I don't know. I'm thinking about that guy at the store, but maybe it goes beyond that. Maybe it goes beyond that to the people that sit around you on Sabbath morning. Maybe we say stuff about other people. We say things that are hurtful. And maybe we even say stuff that's true. But if it were true about us, we'd rather it was not said. You just can't believe the bunions the pastor has. I washed his feet last Sabbath. Oh, man. And stanky, too. Right? Even if... And I don't have bunions, by the way. But even if it's true, what's the point of saying stuff like that? Is it useful? Is it helpful? Is it stuff that's going to build the church up in love? Let's just let it go. There are things about other people in this church that don't need to be said. You know? Just let it go. Let it go. I saw the pastor filling out his tithe envelope. He only put $10 of tithe. I'll bet he makes more than $100 a week. Maybe a little. Is that what we need to say about one another? No way. No way. And then, what about in our families, huh? Have you ever noticed you save the choicest barbs sometimes for your spouse? What is that? What is that? Why do we do this? This is the one we love most of all, right? Why give them a bad time? The kids, the ones who came from our body. What, do you got a brain? They're your kids, remember? So if they inherited no brains, that's where it came from, you know. Brothers and sisters, where do you want to spend eternity? Is that what it's going to be like there? You get out of bed, well, we won't be sleeping in heaven, right? So you're walking around your house and your wife leaves your slippers somewhere and you trip over them in heaven. Is that possible even? I don't know. Let's suppose it were. What, are you going to yell at her? What is that? You're not going to yell at her? Right? If we're planning on that in heaven, that's the way we're supposed to be now, right? Isn't that how it's supposed to be? I mean, last time I checked, this whole Christianity thing was more than just getting to heaven anyway, right? It's supposed to be good for us. Right here and now, let the words of my mouth be acceptable in thy sight, right? Right here, right now, for everyone around me, may the words that I speak be a blessing to others. Let it be a blessing. And then he goes on and he says, and the meditation of my heart, because it all starts right here, doesn't it? Isn't that where it starts? Because I'm not going to yell at that clerk if it isn't already in here, right? See, it kind of starts here and kind of rumbles and jumbles and festers and then it comes out there, right? Yeah. And so the meditation of my heart, Luke chapter 6, verse 45 says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, right? And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks, right? That's how this happens. So guard your heart. Guard your heart. Be careful what you let into it. You go to a movie, you watch a movie. The good guy kills 1,400 bad guys. The bad guys kill 1,399 good guys. The one hero survives, right? Whoo! And then you wonder why, after all of that, you go home and yell at your kids. It's not rocket science, is it? You listen to all the terrible language on some awful movie, and then you wonder why you say stuff to that driver who just cut you off. Come on. It's easy to figure out. Feed your mind with good stuff. Because just cutting off the bad stuff isn't gonna work, is it? I mean, can you imagine going out to a field and you say, well, I'm not going to plant weeds in this field, right? And you don't plant any good stuff, guess what happens? Weeds, right? Weeds. It's not much different in our hearts, is it? Right? You've got to plant good stuff. You've got to plant good stuff. Take a walk. Take a walk out in nature. Take a look up in the sky. Look at those clouds. Have you noticed how Venus and Jupiter have really separated now since we talked last, right? Really coming apart there, aren't they? They're off doing their own thing now. God made that so that we could figure out when they were going to be. Contemplate God's work. And then read His Word. Read His Word. Dig deep in there. More to be desired are they than gold, right? Yay. Than much fine gold. This is David's prayer. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. We talked about witnessing this morning in Sabbath school, didn't we? Nope. Are we witnessing when we yell at a clerk?
No.
We're telling them something, aren't we? We're saying something. What are we saying about Jesus Christ? Aren't we telling him, this clerk, hey, Jesus is powerless to help me through this situation, so I got to yell at you because somebody's got to take care of this. Isn't that what we're doing? When we boil it all down, that's what's happening here. And so we're witnessing even when we're there. Even when we're there. So this week I have a special invitation for you, Robert. I have a special invitation that we join Paul and Silas and we sing in the prison at midnight. That we sing in the prison at midnight. Yes, yes, yes. We've got stripes on our backs. We've had bad things happen to us to that day. Could you guess that Paul and Silas, when they went into that prison, they looked at each other and could have said, wow, I've had better days. How about you? Right? You maybe have had better days sometimes. Sometimes you probably had better days, and yet they chose that day to sing God's praises with stripes on their back, with roaches crawling around. I guess there's probably roaches in there. That's the way I picture it anyway. It was nasty in that prison. Rats in there. All right, Silas, you sleep for a while. I'll watch the rats. Then I'll sleep and you watch for the rats. And yet they chose to sing God's praises, and God sent an earthquake. Okay, maybe that's not a good idea, earthquake. I want God's earthquake, don't you? Let's sing at midnight. Let's sing God's praise. Let's declare the glory of God this week. What do you say? All right, here we go. Ready for hand raising time? Are you ready? Pull it out of your pocket now. Put down the cell phone. Sorry. Get ready. Here we go. Are you willing this week to praise God even in the prison at midnight? Whoo, did you guys just get in trouble? Because you know what's going to happen, of course, right? You know what's going to happen. The devil's going to go, oh, really? Are you serious now? Huh? Are you serious? I don't think you're serious. Let's give it a go. See how serious you really are. Right? Let's sing at midnight. Let's make our prayer today. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Let's ask God today and each day this week for the strength to sing at midnight and declare the glory of God.